allow you, Lord, to work in and through us. We pray that our worship this morning might be in spirit and in truth, that our hearts might be drawn into your presence, O God. We thank you for this time together. We especially think of Rosalind this morning, dear Father. She's our missionary to remember this week, and I just pray that you just bless her. Continue to guide her, Lord, as she teaches there in Pennsylvania. Give her wisdom, give her a love for her students, and help her, Lord, to be able to share your love with them. Just pray for Dana this morning, Lord, that you bless him as he shares what you've laid on his heart. I pray, God, that you help us to hear your voice and to respond in loving obedience, O Father. I just pray that you just continue to guide each of us for your glory. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, good morning. It's a beautiful spring day. Harold mentioned that it's interesting to see how different all the green is from last week to this week. Something I often notice as one that's often up front is the complexion of the people tends to get darker. And there's usually a week, a certain week of the year where that tends to, a lot of us get a little bit of a suntan. So it's just good to see you all this morning. Good to be here. We've been preaching through Colossians, the book of Colossians. I'd like for you to turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're nearing the end of chapter 3, but I'd like to do a little bit of a recap this morning. My message title this morning is Let's Do This. We'll get into that later, but let's do a little bit of recap first. So Colossians chapter 1, verse 1, and Paul says, to the saints and faithful brethren. And again, I just want to get some highlights as we go down through here. But this book is written to saints and faithful brethren. So when we are preaching, when we are looking, when we are reading Colossians, we're reading it as believers. This book is not written to non-believers. This book is written to believers. And we as believers, as faithful brethren, we are saints. Verse 3, Paul says, I give thanks, praying always for you. And then 4 through 8, he says, I've heard of your love for all the saints. And then in verse 9, because I've heard of your love for all the saints, that is the reason. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Because I've heard of your love of the saints, we pray for you. And to desire, this is his desire, and this is my desire for you, and I trust it's all of our desire for each other. This is to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. And then this is past tense. This is Paul speaking, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us or transferred us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, it's been a little while since I preached from Colossians, but remember the last time I shared was on Easter morning, and we talked about the kingdom of God and the image that Nebuchadnezzar saw, and how there were the image was made of different metals, and the different metals represented different kingdoms. And there was a rock made without hands. And that rock came down and hit the image in the feet and broke his feet. And the image fell and crumbled and went to nothing. And the rock grew and filled the entire earth. And this image represented different kingdoms. And this rock that came was also a kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord. And we looked at his ascension and how he took his kingship when he ascended from earth. But now turn to, I'm not going to have you turn there. I decided to do it this way. Matthew 4. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, and here he describes living in the shadow of this image. This image, these earthly kingdoms that ruled their subjects with an iron fist, that were kings over you, and you did what they said, or it was off with your head. The prophet saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the ways of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, these people, the people which sat in darkness, saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. And with that setting, the next verse says, verse 17, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Jesus knew the timing. Jesus saw the big picture. He understood the prophecies perfectly. He prophesied them. Jesus is saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent, because that image is standing there. This was Jesus in his time saying, that image is standing there, but that rock is about to strike. These images, these kingdoms, these earthly kingdoms are going to crumble. Repent, turn away, switch sides. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And now we see Paul a few years later saying, God hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. Praise the Lord. The rest of chapter 1 in Colossians, he's describing Christ and the wonders of who He is and His death and resurrection and all that was accomplished through His death. And our having been reconciled to God through His sacrifice. Verse 18 says, and He is the head of the body, the church. We often think of God and Christ and His Holy Spirit. And we think of them in reverence and we think of them in awe. And we would never do anything wrong intentionally against them. Don't ever forget that the church is the body of Christ. He is the head of the body, the church. The body of Christ consists of people. Just plain old people. Do you love people? Or do people annoy you? I realize we all have different personalities. We all have different feelings about crowds and all of that. But when you are with Christians, you are with Christ's own body. And when you dislike or hurt people, you are disliking and hurting the body of Christ. Don't ever do or say anything to someone that you would not do or say to Christ, because you are doing it or saying it to Christ, if it is a believer, if it is someone who is part of the church. In chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2, and I don't have any verses picked out there necessarily. But he speaks about our life in Christ and being faithful to what we've been taught concerning Christ. What he had taught them concerning Christ. How that Christ had fulfilled the requirements of the law. We are no longer bound by the Old Testament law. He warns against trying to use dietary laws and grand forms of self-denial as a way to earn favor with God. He says following some extreme form of self-denial will look good, but doesn't change your heart. And now we're getting into chapter 3. And I'd like to read chapters 3 and 4 this morning. And then we're going to go ahead and get into what we're talking about today. If ye then be risen with Christ, Colossians 3, verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify or kill, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. That phrase just always brings me up short. Covetousness, which is idolatry. Is there anything that someone else has that you wish was yours? Because that's idolatry. That is the same as having an idol in your living room and worshiping it. For which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them. And here again, realizing he is speaking to those who have surrendered to Christ, those who are Christians, those who are believers, ye also walked past time when ye lived in them, past tense, when ye lived in them, but now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, so these are some things you put off. Now, put on, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. And we went through this list a little more painstakingly last time. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Even as Christ forgave you. Do I forgive the way Christ forgives? And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Are you giving the word a chance to dwell in your life richly? Let it dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. We talked about the importance of wives submitting even when their husbands are not reasonable, even when their husbands are flawed. We see nowhere in Scripture that not submitting to an authority because of their failures is acceptable. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. Going on into Colossians 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister son to Barnabas, touching whom ye received commandments, if he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justus, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you, and them that are in Laodicea, and them in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Salute the brethren which are in Laodicea and Nymphis, and the church which is in his house. And when this epistle is read among you, cause that it be read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that ye likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. The salutation by the hand of me, Paul. Remember my bonds. Grace be with you. Amen. Written from Rome to Colossians by Tychicus and Onesimus. So Paul wrote it, they delivered it. Okay, what I did last time, which has been about three messages ago now, but when I spoke to those who are to submit, those who are under authority, those, the wives, the those that are employees, whatever you have, those who are under authority, I purposely took and put the verses together that addressed them, saying that I would come back later and talk to those who are in authority. And how that looks. So what I did is I put together some verses from chapter 3 and 4. And I just, as I'm reading this, I see I should have had verse 12 in there. I think that would, it's giving an account of what Epaphras is doing. He says he's always laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. So I think that is something else that we should have in this list, laboring fervently in prayers. But let's look at this now, and I shared last time, I wasn't trying to be balanced in the last message. I was planning on using later messages to balance it out, but I was specifically talking to those under authority. Now I'm talking to those over or in authority, and again, we're not necessarily looking at balance, because we've already talked about the other side of this. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them. Fathers, and here again, I'm intentionally skipping verses so that we're seeing those, the verses that are addressed to those in authority. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men. And that verse applies to both. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. 4 verse 1, Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. And now we come to today's title, and I say to the men, let's do this. And I have the do underlined. I'd like for the men, any of you who have any kind of position of authority, all males for sure, all men, to get out a paper and a pen, or have your phones ready to set a reminder. I'm going to give you an assignment here in a little bit. But I'd like for you to either get out a paper and a pen, or if you want to get your phones out and set a reminder. But I would like for us to be intentional about making changes in our lives, if and where they need to be changed. You've heard me say before, most of you, many of you have heard me say several times, that it's much easier to be challenged than it is to be changed. So now I would like for you a very simple, a very easy thing for you to do, if you are a man, is to write down or set a reminder. And some of you say, well, I do this every day. And some of you are going to have to think a little bit. Write down where and what time you will meet with God tomorrow. I'm convinced no man will ever live a life of power and usability in the kingdom that does not have a personal time of communion and hearing from God, surrendering to God on a daily basis, giving and taking. So that's the only direct change I'm going to ask of you today in so much. And again, that may not be a change. I'm not saying it's a change. But let's cover that base. Write down where or what time and what time you will meet with God tomorrow. I think maybe the last time Lynn preached, she said something about, I know it was recently, he said there's times when he doesn't know if he should share during testimony time or during his message. I've had a lot of things going on in my life in the last number of weeks. Since I preached to those who are under authority concerning submission, concerning honoring those who are in authority over them. I had said at that time that I plan on bringing a message, thinking it would be the next message, speaking to the men and those in authority. But last time I felt compelled to, first of all, try to share to lay some groundwork and sharing about having the hearts of those who are under us. The hearts of those who we are called to lead. Who can name the three keys to having someone's heart? If they truly believe this about you, you will have their heart. Who can remember that? If my child believes this about me, I will never hurt. No, that's actually not right. I will never intentionally harm you. I may intentionally hurt you. I.e. spankings. I.e. confrontation. There's times when hurt is necessary. I will never intentionally harm you. I will always work in your best interest. And I will always want you to be all that God wants you to be. If my child, now again, you can have all of those right and your child not believe you. And you won't have their heart. If your child, if you are doing that, and if your child believes you are doing that, you will have their heart, or your spouse, or whoever it is. I will never intentionally harm you. I will always work in your best interest. I will always want you to be all that God wants you to be. And now this time, in preparing to share, God again led me, through various ways, to do some more groundwork in preparation for getting into making practical applications from the text. If I understand correctly, if I understand the way the Lord is leading, these same verses, this what's up here now, will be the text that we use next time as well. Looking into some practical things. We sang a song, the Holy Bible, Book Divine. That's another song for later that I wanted to break down the bread of life. I saved that song. Two of the songs this morning, I Believe the Bible. The last verse of that song says, I believe the Bible, for 'tis ever true. We sing that, and we think we mean that. And I think, and again, I think we do mean that. But, do we believe that the Bible is still the Word of God, that people are still people, that the human condition is still the human condition? We sang, I believe the Bible, for 'tis ever true. Do you or do I get more information from the Bible than I do from books, from society, from seminars, from Google, on things like relationships, how to do relationships, how to raise children? Today's children are different. You need to treat them differently. You need to relate to them differently. I believe the Bible, for 'tis ever true. Marriage, dress, appearance, living standards. There's a number, you know, we can go on. But do I, have I, and this is, I have been beat up a bit lately. Some of the things I've read, some of the things I've heard, and looking at my life, and how very easy it is to look around and say, I'm doing as well as the next guy. Maybe I'm doing better than the next guy. And when I brought my life, when my life is brought to compare with God's Word, and just seeing how far short I fall in so many ways. This message has probably been, or this subject, has probably been some of the hardest sermon prep I've ever done. I've known I'm going to preach about this. I can't, any of you that know me well at all know that I'm far from perfect. But I try hard to not stand here and preach about something that means nothing in my personal life. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 17 says, wherefore in all things it behoved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. And then Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I'm no high priest. And I know these scriptures are speaking about Jesus Christ. And I know that they're talking about Him being that mediator between God and men. But this last few weeks, I feel like I've been made a little bit more of a merciful and faithful pastor. Like I said, I can look around at the next guy and feel like I've got things together pretty well. Last Friday, James hooked the pounder up to the bobcat. And for those of you who know how a quick catch works, on a bobcat, you hook the top in and you tip it back and you put the pins down. And the pins, there's a plate. When you hook that up, the plate comes underneath and a pin goes down on both sides through that plate. Well, James has maybe never hooked the pounder up. I don't know. For sure not often. And when he hooked it up, he thought he had it back all the way, and it wasn't. And when he put the pins down through, they didn't go down through. They were, the plate was out too far, and they missed the plate. So it will ride like that, but it's not latched like that. And he backed it up on the trailer and set it down. The pounder tipped off and did some damage and whatever. Of course, that went through me a little bit, but hey, stuff happens. And I even made a comment later that I was really thankful that I was able to react properly to that. I didn't get upset. I didn't get mad. That was on Friday. Saturday, or Friday night, Jay took the bobcat home, did some work around the home. And Saturday, he backed, most of you know this already, but there's a big hole they have dug there to burn brush in and whatever. He backed into that hole. The hole is here. There was an implement of some kind setting here that he wanted to move. He drove past the hole and drove up to this implement with his forks. Decided it was the wrong angle and backed straight up. Completely forgot the hole was there. Backed straight in the hole and rolled the bobcat upside down. Again, caused some damage and whatever, of course, but I didn't get mad. I didn't get upset. These are young men in my church. These are young men I need to disciple. I go home with my pickup and ask Jeffrey to hook up the trailer. And I'm backing up. And he's guiding me. Nothing broke. Nothing went wrong. But when he told me to stop and I stopped, he didn't hook up the jack. He didn't start turning the jack as quick as I thought he should have. And I let him know it. And I was brought up short. When I'm out in public, when I'm with other people, I'll control myself. I have the right response. I do all the right things. When I'm at home, my 14-year-old son, my first responsibility after my wife, I let them see my anger. For something, and the reason I mentioned the pounder and the bobcat, those are big things. This was a little thing. And I react. And I will even go so far to say, Jay's not here this morning, I don't believe. But Jay backing into that hole was really dumb. And I say that to say this. Jay, generally, is not dumb. He's very conscientious. You don't drive past a 20-foot hole and forget it's there. Unless God has something in store. Unless God is trying to do something in somebody's life. I'm convinced that God sent me some big things to show me how wrong my response to the little things are. And that is why I read this in Hebrews. I knew this message was coming up. There were some things I wanted to shore up in my life. Some things I want to get buttoned up before I present this message so that I can present it as I ought. It seemed like one time after another, I get brought short. I believe God wanted to show me. And this is what I want. This is where I want to break thou the bread of life. Spirit and life are they. Words thou dost speak. I hasten to obey, but I am weak. Thou art my only help. Thou art my life. Heeding thy holy word, I win the strife. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. And then this morning, or last night, I guess, I had another thing happen that I am just convinced was of God. I always use my Power Bible CD program thing on my laptop to study. I can't say that I know it always opens to the same place, but it, you know, it's just closed and I click on it and the whole thing comes up and then I can open, well, the Bible always opens up automatically and then you can go into different commentaries and whatever. I am nearly convinced, nearly certain, it always opens up to the book of Matthew. This time I opened it up and it opened to Proverbs 25, verse 4 and 5. And it just struck me that this was exactly what I'm looking at. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. Take away the wicked from before the king, and his throne shall be established in righteousness. So having said all that, having said how many times I've seen myself fail in the last few weeks, and it's been family devotions, it's been things I decide I'm going to meet with my children, the three oldest ones, one morning a week. Each one of them gets a morning. And different things. And it seems like everything. I fail. So I guess what I'm saying is I understand. When you want to do well and you fail. When you have good intentions and they fall through. Take away the dross from the silver, and there shall come forth a vessel for the finer. There is silver underneath that dross. And it works both ways. The fact that there's dross there does not mean there's not silver underneath. But the fact that there's dross there does mean that the silver cannot be used for what it's intended. I would like for us to apply that to our lives. And again, I just feel like there are so many things that have fell together this week, different conversations. I was talking to someone and he said, as long, and he wasn't saying it in an accusing way, he's saying it as a matter of fact. If a congregation has men who have hidden, besetting sins, a habitual sin, a sin that, if I was talking about this last year, the same thing comes to your mind. If you heard about this, if this idea came to you 2 years ago, it's the same thing came to your mind. A besetting sin. If you have one, you know what I'm talking about. If, I'll say it this way, men and brethren, if you have a hidden or besetting sin in your life, none of the rest of this matters. You will not have the power of God working in and through you. We must get the dross taken off of the silver. Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And if you're thinking it only affects you, Joshua 22:20 says, did not Achan, the son of Zerah, commit a trespass in the accursed thing, and wrath fell on all the congregation of Israel. And that man perished not alone in his iniquity. One man's sin affects everyone. If your innards are churning a bit right now, please don't let fear rule the day. Look at David. We all know what lengths he went to conceal his sin. We all know what he did there and how he tried to conceal it, or most of us do anyways. He committed adultery with Bathsheba and then had her husband killed on the battlefield to cover it up. Psalm 32 gives David's testimony. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. And then he says what changed it. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. I've been asking the Lord to give us a vision. And I would invite you as men, all of you, but especially the men, to pray with us. Lord, give us a vision. How can we make a larger impact in the lives of the community? But I am also convinced that a man or men or women hiding personal sin in the midst of the congregation will be enough to quench the Spirit's ability to truly work in and through us as a body of believers. We are one. We are a body, and when one member of the body has a disease, the whole body is affected. So men, let's do this. Let's not hold back. May God be true and every man a liar. What is the Spirit showing you today? Are you free? Are you surrendered? Will you come? Let's do this. Let's change. This is the first day of the rest of your life. You've heard that how many times? What is in my life that I know is keeping me from being what God would have me to be? Where is the dross in my life? There's silver underneath. What is the dross? And what I want us to do is I want us to be in a state of mind and a state of a spirit that when we come back next time and look at the responsibilities of a leader, that rather than saying, yeah, I can't do that because I still got this thing to deal with, that we can be free and open before the Lord and saying, Lord, show me. What do you have for me? Neglect not the ministry that you've been called to. I think it's hard for us as men to admit that we struggle. Maybe we need to commit anew to being all that God wants us to be. I believe I'm going to open it up. If you would like to come, we're not going to take a long time. But if the Spirit has spoken to you this morning, I believe I'm going to have prayer. And if you would like to come during the prayer, Let's just be praying. Lord, well, I guess I just really ask you to be honest with yourself. Is there peace in here? Is there something nagging you when you think about this? If there's freedom, then please pray for others. If there's not, then please come. Let's pray. Father, I just pray that you would work in our midst here this morning. Lord, I pray for a sense of freedom, a sense of surrender, a desire to surrender. Lord, help us to admit where there's dross. Help us to admit where there's things that need to change in order for you to be able to work in and through us. Help us as men, as fathers, as leaders, to take our job seriously, to truly be concerned and looking out for those that you've placed under our authority, that you've called us to lead. Help us to lead. To lead by example, but never hinder your work by our refusal to be what you'd have us to be. Lord, I pray that Satan would be defeated in each of our lives. Thank you, Lord, that the power is there, that you have died and set us free, that he is a defeated foe. Bless us. Help us, Lord. We thank you. We bless you, and we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Does anyone have anything they'd like to share this morning? I'm just going to open it up. Does anyone have anything they would like to share with the congregation this morning? Well, okay, thank you. Just ask you to mind the Spirit. Let's be looking forward to the next message. I covered your prayers. Again, I feel like there are things that the Lord would have us to do. And we want to have our armor bright and shiny when we go. Lord bless you. Then you stand and we'll have a song and be dismissed.